Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. With our shelters facing a steady stream of lost, abandoned, and homeless dogs and cats, what is the best way to handle all the animals and prevent them from being euthanized? We're going to be delving into this question in some detail on today's show, and in particular, new legislation in New York State and the New York City experience of working toward more reunions with families and more adoptions and less need for euthanasia due to overpopulation. So if the mutual goals of the various players, the shelters, which tend to be overcrowded, underfunded, and frequently short on staff, the animal rescue groups, which operate to get the animals out of the shelters and then into homes, and the communities at large, which generally want a safe environment and low rates of euthanasia. If these entities can agree on general goals and then work together, you could save a lot of animals. But it's easier said than done. Later in the hour, Laura Allen from Animal Law Coalition will join us. But first, I want to introduce and welcome our first two guests who are deeply involved in this effort in New York. First, to describe the proposed legislation is New York State Assembly Member Amy Pollan. Amy represents New York's 88th Assembly District, which is near New York City in Westchester County. Amy has championed many animal causes before and has sponsored a number of bills to try to shut down puppy mills and improve enforcement of laws regulating all pet dealers. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you? Thanks
for
having me on the show.
Thank you for coming on. I know you're quite busy this time of year. Also on the line, we have Jane Hoffman. Jane has been president and chair of the Mayor's Alliance for New York City's Animals since its inception in 2002. Welcome, Jane.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me.
Amy, let's start with you. You have sponsored a bill in New York State called the Shelter Access Bill. I know it has a number of provisions, and I'm going to ask you to describe that in a minute. But first, can you tell us the current situation in the state that would require new laws? What are the problem areas related to shelters and how they interact in their communities?
Well, I think you, Lori, identified the problem when you introduced us both. And that is that we have many strays. They wind up in municipal shelters, and these shelters then become overcrowded. They don't have the proper facilities to take care of these animals, and then that leads to many of those animals being euthanized. And at the same time, we have rescues, but in New York, they're not regulated, it presents a problem sometimes because the shelters and the rescues don't always find each other. And
yeah.
This bill is an attempt to rectify that so that we can minimize the number of animals that are being euthanized by requiring shelters to have that relationship and then offer those animals prior to being able to euthanize.
Oh, that sounds great. So please now continue about the legislation. What is the genesis of this bill, and how did you get involved?
Well, first how I got involved. I have been doing bills relating to animal rights since I was elected. I met a woman named Stacey Wolf, who at the time was the legislative person for the ASPCA in New York, and she had given me a bill. We had success in making it a law. Other animal rights groups found me, gave me other ideas for legislation, and I've had unbelievable success in New York. We do not have a good history in making new laws to protect animals, and I had a great deal of success. So I was always very open and welcomed new ideas, and was presented with this one by a number of groups 2 years ago. And we have been working to develop a bill, and we have grown our coalition of interested parties as we've gone along. And hopefully at the end of the day we'll have a bill that we can all be proud of to best protect animals.
Go ahead with the specific provisions of the law that will help save the lives.
Yeah. Okay. So the provisions, you know, I mentioned the one, which is that shelters must maintain a list of rescues that they offer the animal to prior to euthanization. Currently, the law in New York is that the shelter must hold the animal for 5 days. That's in the case that, you know, hopefully the owner and the stray reunite. And after that, they have the ability to euthanize that animal. So, what we have to do is strengthen the ability to reunite the owner with that lost pet. So we require not only or with a owner, you know, which is the provision that would require a shelter to offer the animal to a rescue prior to being able to euthanize, right? So the other two provisions address the health and well-being of the animal. It requires prompt veterinary care. Currently, there's no provision in New York State law to do that. So if an animal comes in and they're sick, they're hurt, this would require the shelter to get prompt veterinary care to take care of that animal. The third provision is that owner reuniting aspect, which is if and when that animal came into the shelter, they often have tags. These days, they often have electronic chips, and it requires the shelter to take a photo of the dog or cat, or rabbit, and look for identifying information and post it on a website so that owners hopefully can find their lost animal, and then we expect that shelter to then hold that animal for a lengthier period of time if that owner is found in order to have that reunification.
Amy, how does a rescue group get certified? Who takes the time to look at them specifically and make a judgment?
In my bill, the shelter itself would have that authority. We say essentially that if a rescue meets these certain requirements, they're 501c3. They haven't done any misrepresentation of information. They have an ability to provide good care, and there's it's a slightly longer list than that. That then the shelter must put them on the list, and the shelter has the ability to inspect to make sure that they're doing what they say, and they are also required to have a list. A list that can accommodate the kinds of animals that they are presented with. So,
Amy,
go ahead.
Yeah. In my personal experience, is that these employees are so overworked that they may not be interested in evaluating potential rescue groups. Am I wrong?
No, I think that's the problem, and that's why we make it a requirement in the bill for them to have a list. So we force them to maintain an active profile of where they can give those lost strays.
Yeah. Jane Hoffman, you've been quietly listening to our discussion. Thank you. And my understanding is that in New York City, you successfully have implemented many of these ideas now on the state agenda. Just in the last minute before our break, and we'll talk more about this to you, please share with us your New York City experience.
Well, in a nutshell, I mean, what Assemblymember Paulin is, her bill is would require the rest of the state to follow is what we've done in New York City, which is create one of the largest and longest-running coalitions of animal rescue groups and shelters working together to save animals. And I can just tell you, in 2003, which was our baseline year, we were Animal Care and Control of New York City killed almost 32,000 cats and dogs. And by the end of last year, 2011, we had reduced that to just slightly over 10,000. So basically, we're saving close to 3 out of 4 lives saved And that's because of the coalition, and that's because of doing exactly what Amy Paulin's bill would do, which is require, create a framework for rescue groups and shelters to work together, because they should not be enemies. They're collaborators, and they should be doing that, and this would require it on a statewide level.
Mm. Jane, are these... You know, we got to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be back with Jane Hoffman and Amy Paulin. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. You're listening to Animals Today. Back with Assemblymember Amy Paulin and Jane Hoffman. Welcome back to Animals Today. Jane, has your success in New York City come from new legislation or persuasion and organization?
It actually came from persuasion to a certain extent, and it came with money. Frankly, we also, it was a fortunate confluence of events. Maddie's Fund had been created in 1999. Mike Bloomberg came into office, you know, at the end of 2001, 2002. And the New York City Bar Association, of which I'm one of the founding members, submitted a memo to Mike Bloomberg's people and basically said, you know, animal care and control, there's an issue, we all know about it. In New York City, we think we have the beginning of perhaps an answer. We can secure a very large grant to, you know, address this problem, but we need to pull together a collaboration. We need the, you know, buy-in of the government. And they love the idea because they love public-private partnerships. We do not get a dime from the government. We actually give money to Animal Care and Control as well as the other groups. We're a private not-for-profit, and we're funded through donations and grants from, you know, people like Maddie's Fund. So ours did not come out of legislation, but I think on a statewide level, I think Assemblymember Paulin saw the need that this was not, you know, there's so many, we in New York City have one open admission shelter. We have what is actually another not-for-profit called New York City's, or Animal Care and Control of New York City, which has a contract with our Department of Health. That is the only open admission shelter in our five boroughs. So it was very easy to focus our attention, and that's what the 150 or so partners, members of the Animal Alliance, focused their attention on, getting animals transferred out of animal control to their rescue partners, which are other shelters and rescue groups, who then have a wider market, if you will, to get them adopted out. Animal Care and Control also does their own adoptions. So our focus is much easier. I think Assemblymember Paulin saw you are going to need legislation in this area because we have so many different kinds of shelters throughout the state. We're a very large state, a lot of counties and towns, counties. You know, there's municipal shelters, there's other shelters. I think, you know, there's just a need to have some kind of coherent, single system. Most of what is in this bill would not actually affect New York City because we're already doing it and have been doing it since 2003. But it's, I think, you know, it would be nice not to have to legislate collaboration, but I think in this instance it probably is needed. And I think, you know, Assemblymember Paulin has come up with a very reasonable bill, because one thing I would point out is that the very things that are going to be looked at in rescue groups by the shelters that, you know, they wish to work with, they look at adopters for the same thing, except for maybe not being 501c3s. So it doesn't seem unreasonable for a shelter to want their rescue partners to be able to adhere to certain standards that probably the rescue groups look at their adopters to see if they can adhere to those standards, because it's pretty straightforward. It's, you know, it's like... shelter, food, water, necessary veterinary care, safe environment, you know, control disease, maintain an active program. You know, it's common sense things. So I think the Assemblymember has come down on a very reasonable basis for that to be looked at. And the other thing is that the shelter is not allowed to unreasonably hold approval of a group, and the group can get, in writing what they have not been allowed onto the list for, so they have an opportunity to address that. So again, there's a, period to cure. The Alliance doesn't endorse legislation specifically, but, I was asked to come in and just meet with Assemblymember Paulin's people because, she was coming up with this bill, and we are already doing a lot of this in New York City. So, it was a great honor to be able to work with her on this.
Yeah. Assemblymember Amy Paulin, what do you expect the result of this law to be? How much of an impact can it have, and how will you measure its effect?
Well, we know that across the state it's very inconsistent. For example, there was just a terrible tragedy in Buffalo, which is in the western part of New York State, where one of the shelters did not perform, and many of those animals died as a result. So we know there's a need to improve the standards in the shelters, as well as the relationship between the rescue and those shelters. So, this state is so diverse. In some areas, it's going to have a major impact, and in others, we're lucky, like in New York City, where they've already, where they've already achieved a great deal of that great relationship.
Yeah. Amy, do you have many co-sponsors, and where does this bill stand now?
We had a great deal of co-sponsors. We still have a good list. There was a lot of confusion about some of the words in the bill. So during that time, we worked to eliminate a lot of that confusion, and I think that now we're moving in a much better direction. So where the bill stands now is it's just been reported about a month ago. It was reported out of one of the assembly committees, the key one, the Agriculture Committee, and it gets sent now to the Codes Committee, and then it would go to the floor of the legislature. It has risen to the level of the leadership in the assembly, so there's a great deal of interest in reaching a good bill, getting to the point of getting a good bill. We're still tweaking many of the provisions, and when we get there, we hopefully will see it move forward in the assembly, and then we need to find a Senate partner, and we're all keeping our eyes and ears open to do that. And if we're successful in that, then it would be before the governor. Our session ends in June, so we have some time. But sometimes these kinds of things take a while.
And Amy and Jane, we only have about a minute left. Do you think everyone will be on board, the animal facilities and their employees, as well as the rescue groups? And please tell us, what can New York State residents do to support this law in the last several seconds?
I think they should send something.
It's hard to say. I think we're at a point of transition right now, so I don't know whether it's going to move ahead successfully. We are all working very hard to have that happen. And what can New York State residents do? They can contact their assembly members and their state senators and let them know that they should be supporting the shelter access bill, and that will go a long way toward helping us.
Right. It's A5449-B, the New York Shelter Access Bill. And I think ultimately a lot of people will support this bill. Legislation, if everybody comes away a little bit unhappy, we probably hit the right note.
Great. Amy Paulin, Jane Hoffman, thank you so much for appearing on Animals Today.
Thank you, Lori.
My pleasure.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. I'm very pleased to introduce Laura Allen. She's been a guest on the show before. She heads up Animal Law Coalition. Animal Law Coalition works to stop animal cruelty and suffering through legislation, administrative agency action, and litigation. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
So, Laura, is this legislation, the New York State Shelter Access Bill, which we've been talking about this hour, is it needed? And can't we kill fewer animals without making new laws?
Well, it would be great if we could, but, you know, historically, shelters and rescues have had a history of distrust. You know, rescues look at shelters as places where animals go to die, and shelters say, look, we're the first lines of rescue in most communities, and we're here to perform a public service. You know, we protect the public, we prevent the spread of disease, and we provide care for animals that are abandoned or in need. So the idea is to try to bring these two groups together, and in many places in New York, they do work together, and but there are places where they don't, where rescues don't have access to shelters, and shelters don't call rescues and say, can you take an animal before they euthanize them? So I would say yes, this legislation is necessary, and I think it's important for rescues to have certain rights, which this legislation will give them, a rights of access to a shelter, that if they're, as long as they're a reputable rescue and they're qualified, they meet certain basic criteria, the shelter should call them, you know, before they euthanize an animal and say, can you take them? And that's what,
right.
That's what this legislation is for.
Right. And as I commented to Assembly Member Amy Pollan, that, it, you know, in my personal experience, when it's up to the shelter, it's that these employees, they're so overworked that they just may not be interested in evaluating really good potential rescue groups. And is that a concern?
Well, it is. I mean, you know, shelters have limited funding. We all know that. And so sometimes it's a choice between cleaning out a cage and or kennel and feeding an animal and then spending time checking out rescues or calling them. And, you know,
right.
The budgets are really that tight. But on the other hand, rescues can, if they are able to take that time and once they establish these relationships and vet the rescues, it makes sense, and it saves lives to bring rescues in. Rescues can bring in resources. They can take the animals. They can provide vetting, and they can help find homes, all the things the shelters are strapped to do. And part of your question was also, is it important for shelters to evaluate rescues? And it definitely is. It's, you know, rescues get overwhelmed. There can be hoarding, even rescues that have 501c3 status, you know, with IRS designations as charities. That's no guarantee that they won't get overwhelmed or take in too many animals or become hoarders. And it's really important that shelters be able to check them out, make sure they just meet these certain minimum criteria before animals are sent there. So that's
yeah.
Another part of this legislation. It has an anti-hoarding component to it. And it as you heard, it's modeled a bit off the Mayor's Alliance program, and that works very well. You know, just very simple requirements that rescues meet, and they have over 160 rescue partners that are qualified to take animals out of the shelter there.
Yeah, you make a really great point, Laura. There is such a huge problem of animal hoarding, and a lot of rescues are hoarders. So I'm glad to hear that this legislation accounts for that.
Well, it at least recognizes that there's a problem. I know most rescues, you know, their heart's in the right place, and they're doing everything they can to save lives, and they do a great job. But just the nature of it, you know, you get overwhelmed. You want to save lives, you just end up taking too many, and some go down that slippery slope of just having a terrible place. They may not even recognize
yeah.
how horrible it is.
And
that's
exactly.
the kind of thing shelters have to prevent.
Right. Also, sort of on this, right on the same topic, Laura, you know, many states, the animals in many shelters in many states potentially can become experimental subjects. If does this legislation do anything about that?
Well, in New York, it's illegal for shelters to sell animals for experimentation and testing. And under our legislation, it would declare that a shelter could not give an animal to a 501c rescue that that would do that or that has done that in the past. So, yes, it makes sure that this law is continued to be enforced in New York, that animals and shelters don't end up in places like that.
Yeah, and you think there's enough support across the state to get this legislation signed into law, correct?
Yes, I hope so. I know it's a fundamental shift in what shelters have come to expect or be able to do, and but I think once we keep talking to everyone, we will get everyone on board, and it will become law.
Laura, do you see any potential pitfalls if this law is passed?
I really don't. I think that the only real pitfall is, funding. Everything is so tight these days. Funding is being cut for shelters everywhere, and in New York and in other states too. And it can make it very difficult for them to do some of the requirements, because it's not only vetting the rescues, which many of them already have rescue partners, but it's also, this bill would require shelters to start checking tags and microchips and lost animal lists and trying to make sure that any animal that has a home gets returned there. So those kinds of things, obviously we want them done, but they take resources. And so that's the only pitfall I can see, is if the towns and counties and the state don't provide the funding that would be necessary for it to work effectively.
Laura, and it seems to you that the rescue groups are in favor of this, correct?
Well, I think generally in favor of rescue access. They would obviously like more reform, I think, than we have in our bill. Our bill is basically focused on rescue access. It doesn't really try to reform the shelters in the sense, make them, wonderful places other than providing the minimum of food, water, veterinary care. Because the idea is to get animals out of shelters, out of these, places that serve a public service. And I think there are rescue groups that would like to see more reform. But again, it's a real budgetary constraint. So we focused on what we thought was the most important, which in New York is making sure all shelters provide vet care. That's something that's not required now of all shelters. Having them look to find owners so we can get them out, and working with rescues to get them out. So that's really where we focus. And I think there is a rub in the community that they would like to see more reform. But I think with the cost constraints, that's just not realistic right now. And I think if we can start working together to put in place this rescue access program, that will be a huge step in saving lives.
I completely agree. Laura Allen, she heads up Animal Law Coalition. Tell us your website, Laura.
www.animallawcoalition.com.
Laura, thank you so much for appearing on Animals Today.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
Take care. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Lori.
Hi.
Hey.
So what do you think? I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, great idea.
I mean, really, to get the shelters and rescues working together, potentially this could save many lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hope the funding issue doesn't become too much of a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
So
what do you have in your hand there?
I have in my hand a nice little children's book we received, which I would like to recommend. It's called Tommy the Throwaway Dog. It's a children's book.
It looks adorable.
It is adorable. It's written by Laura Marlowe and illustrated by Javier Duarte. And Javier is a very good artist, and it depicts the story of a dog who literally was found in a garbage pail. And how the dog ends up meeting some mostly nice people, ending up in a shelter, and then adopted by a family. And this little book is also available as an ebook, or it's turned into a sort of DVD thing, and the proceeds are going to help animal rescues and animal welfare organizations.
Oh, that's so nice.
So we are interested in teaching our kids to adopt animals and to support their shelters, and this book goes right to that point.
And it's very apropos for today's show.
That's right. So available everywhere, Tommy the Throwaway
Tommy
Dog.
Tommy the Throwaway Dog.
Laura Marlowe. And
cute cover.
Nice gift.
Yeah, cute cover where dogs in a trash can.
Yes.
Oh, it's great.
So it was a good one. You know, we get a lot of books. This one we liked.
Yeah, we did like that one.
Yes.
Especially as a children's book.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to, after the break, you're going to tell some news, right?
There's a whole bunch of news going on
okay.
in the animal universe.
Yes, okay. Don't go away then, because we're going to listen to Peter talk right after the break.
Brian Setzer, Stray Cats.
I want to keep listening to that song.
I know,
okay,
I do too.
Welcome back.
You know, I like him so much.
I know. He
figured out a way to make a career out of this band that sort of came and went pretty fast,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
He's out there touring with his big band. He comes out to the desert of Southern California every year, like Christmas or New Year's time. And
I know. Still playing. Still great.
And, I'm glad that we just listened to this. I wanted to give you a couple of dog and cat news items to start the short segment. First is a sort of medical story about cancer in dogs. And finally, it's been determined that there is a virus similar to Epstein-Barr virus that seems to be responsible for at least some cases of lymphoma in dogs. So this is a new thing, and the investigation this problem is likely to lead to treatments and identification for both dogs and people. So that's a new thing. We'll let you know what happens. This comes out of the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine.
So experimentation on humans to treat humans and dogs, or experimentation on dogs
yeah.
to treat them? Who that's, were the subjects?
Who are the subjects and who are the patients?
Yeah.
It's a good,
okay.
good question.
Hmm.
Health news. There is this potentially fatal disease in cats called tubulo interstitial nephritis, right? People get this too, but in cats, the cause is rarely understood. Well, now researchers believe they have found a new virus that's related to measles and mumps that might be responsible for a lot of these causes in cats.
Mm.
In fact, a dog version of the virus causes distemper, canine distemper, but not this version in cats, which they're calling morbillivirus, feline morbillivirus, seems to be responsible for a lot of cat kidney problems.
Wow.
So this hopefully will lead to a vaccine to help protect the little cat kidneys, which are small things.
Yeah, little kidney beans. Very interesting. You know, isn't kidney disease or renal disease the number one
cause
of illness in
cats? Well, a lot of older cats get renal disease. I don't know if it's from tubulo interstitial nephritis.
Right, but wouldn't you wonder if a lot of the renal disease the aging cats get are caused from that.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
You need more cats in your house. You need more cats.
No, I should have gone to veterinary school instead of medical school.
L'Oreal, you know, the French cosmetic company, they recently announced a partnership with the U.S. EPA to try to develop computer models and animal-free tests for cosmetic testing. So they have dedicated $1.2 million. They're going to create a partnership and try to figure out how toxic certain chemicals are outside of an animal model.
That's great.
So this is a step in the direction where we're trying to get.
Wow.
And the fact that it's a collaboration with the EPA, to me, signals that the EPA may be starting to be more receptive to the idea that you can do this on non-animal models, and maybe that'll spread to the medical devices also.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, so L'Oreal, congratulations,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll go in the right direction. We've covered this before, the group Animal Defenders International. There's a great group of folks that really care about animals and other animals. They recently persuaded the Orange County Fair Board to prohibit elephant rides at their yearly fair.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, so
they've been working on this for a while, I think.
They've been working on it. They don't really want elephants to come in to be toys for the riders.
Yeah.
And so the Orange County Board decided that there's no need for it's just not humane to have the elephants come out to be at the fair.
That's fantastic news.
Yeah, that's great news. Now, you know, they recently sued some members from the group Have Trunk Will Travel.
Yes.
They have the business that provides a lot of elephants to the trade. That was thrown out, as we previously discussed. That suit was dismissed. They didn't really have a lot to go on that suit. But I'm sure they're out there looking for the next opportunity.
Yes.
Okay.
Congratulations to them.
Yes, Animal Defenders International. Check them out on their website. Also, they're a great group that we think is doing a great job. A huge giant squid was found, the corpse of the squid. It wasn't killed. So this huge squid, many meters long, 8 meters long, okay, they dissected its body. They did a necropsy, and particularly they were interested in the squid's eyes, as we are here. And this squid has got huge eyes, and what's the point of a squid that lives so far down in the ocean where there's no sunlight there have huge eyes?
Huh.
So, right. Huh is what everyone thought. So you've got this big squid with huge eyes, a huge lens. They showed I saw a picture of this lens of the eye, and they couldn't really figure out why you would need an adaptation to have such a big eye down there. And it turns out, the theory goes, that the squid needs to be able to detect the sperm whale that wants to eat it.
Mm.
And it really can't see the sperm whale, but as the sperm whale is swimming by, it disrupts the little plankton that are bioluminescent. And it creates a very, very, very faint trail of light that this eye is specialized to be able to detect.
That's so interesting.
So you need a huge eye at the bottom of the ocean to detect the tiny little creatures that are making light in the wake of the sperm whale.
So
isn't that cool?
Yes.
So no animals were killed in that research, which is nice to know.
Well, you said the squid was found.
Was found dead. Yes.
Okay. You didn't explain yourself.
Sorry.
Okay.
And finally, the world's largest conservation area is going to protect African wildlife. A new conservation area called KAZA spans 109 million acres, that's three quarters the size of Texas, by the way, to protect all these crocodiles, lions, leopards, hyenas, rhinoceroses, baboons. This is a real achievement. Getting a number of countries together to put this land under conservation.
Wow.
And it's going to allow them to migrate more naturally.
Yes.
So congratulations.
Yes. Thank you, Peter.
Yes.
And thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.